Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm coming to you live from Pumperow, up here for the Far North Queensland, Cape York. I'm up here for Pumperow Youth Summit for 2023, a fantastic event, and look, great to be here, excited to be here, up here as the MC for the whole week. And look, just engaging with youth and what Pumperow is doing here as a unit is powerful. All hands on deck, young and old, black and white, and creating this space. It's an annual event, and it is deadly inspiring the youth, giving vision and for their future. That's what it's all about. And there's different stakeholders at the table. We mentioned Puna Pima, mentioned the Queensland Police, Abergarry, which is education, you know, boarding school there near Ingham. And they've got a lot of Cape York and Torres Strait Islander students enrolled. Also, ADF, happy to run into our cousin Jerry Savage, who's been a part of the Defence Force Navy for something like 35-odd years, he's part of the furniture. Two Delhi brother, proud of you. And look, I'm going to talk to one of his associates. We've got T.T. Fisher, who's a recruiter with the ADF. A very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you, sister. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so my name's Felicia. I'm Nawagi, Yidinji, Mamara, and Birragaba woman. Yeah. Grew up in Townsville, Ingham, but also born in Cairns, so...
Yeah, represent, we've got connection. Deadly, sister. So, T, look, thank you very much for coming to the program. How long have you been with the Australian Defence Force?
This is my eighth year now.
Eighth year.
Yeah.
Good, sister, good. So tell us your journey. Were you always had the aspiration to become in the Australian Defence Force? Tell us your journey, dear sister.
I think I was always kind of like in the back of my mind, but the moment I wanted to join was probably when I was working two jobs in the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So just working in Coles, doing like the morning shifts of all the cleaning,
yep,
and stuff like that. And then I also worked at the steakhouse in the evening. So, you know, your hospitality, yes, all that good stuff.
Sure. So what happened? How did ADF become a stage in your life?
We go through a job opportunity assessment, and I got the, I didn't get the jobs that I wanted, so I had to redo the test within the 6 months,
mm-hmm,
and I just got a call asking if I wanted to do the test or did I want to go through the Army Indigenous Development Program. So I chose the Army Indigenous Development Program, and so I've been in... my eighth year now,
yep,
have made many friends from that program, from my military training, from my employment training,
yes,
also going across like all my field exercises, going on language courses,
yes.
So yeah, there's many different opportunities.
So it's a great opportunity for First Nation people to apply for a position with ADF.
Yeah, 100%. We also have across our ADF career centres all across Australia, we do have specialist recruiting teams for Indigenous, so usually one to two personnel within those centres that can help you with the application process. Just have to ask, hey, can I speak to one of the Indigenous recruiters, and be there to help.
Fantastic. So you stepped into this space, really not knowing why you stepped into this space. Tell us the story about the yarning circle that you had, and then the penny dropped in regard to why you was in the ADF.
Yeah, so we, one of our military training establishments have yarning circles now, which is awesome.
Yarning circles, love that, yes.
And we all got introduced to come to the yarning circle and then also explain why we joined. And I think I didn't know at the time, but I joined for my siblings because I wanted them to believe that I could do whatever they wanted to. They put their minds to it.
Because you're their older sister? Is that yep, thank you. So you want to take on that leadership role as the older sister, yep.
Yeah, so that was when I realised I actually joined for my younger brother and my younger sister.
That's really unselfish. But it becomes a career pathway. You're enjoying this pathway now, this career.
Yeah.
So you are leading from the front for your younger siblings, which is great, sister.
Yeah.
So what's your role with ADF?
My role normally is driver, so I drive most of the trucks. My career has mostly been driving ambulances.
Okay.
So I work with like medical technicians, nurses, doctors, so mainly the medical technicians are in the truck with me.
Yes.
So if a soldier gets injured or is sick, we go and get them, treat them in place, or if they take them to hospital, then we have to take them to the hospital. Whether that be the field one or, you know, one into like the local town.
Okay, so when you say truck driver, is that any truck, any vehicle, heavy vehicle?
I'm not heavy rigid, but I'm medium rigid license.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're looking at expanding, going heavy or?
Yeah, I think eventually. But just sort of depends where my career path leads me, I guess.
Yeah, good. So 8 years, congratulations. What's your vision? Are you looking at another 2, 3, 5 years? Or?
Yeah, well, I've always kind of wanted to. I didn't think I was going to stay in this long, to be honest.
Yes.
So initially I was going to be in for the 4 years, and then before I knew it, that was up, and then...
Here's another 4 years, 8 years.
And then my next goal was staying in for the 10 years.
Okay.
And I also want to go to the Army Just Along program as well.
Good, deadly.
Yeah.
So you're here at the Pompera Youth Summit.
Mm-hmm.
So talking to young ones, and to talking about this pathway, they chose to join the ADF, and then you paint that picture regarding the beautiful career that it is and what's what can be obtained in this career, yeah?
Mm. So it's just like I explain it in a way as we have leaders in the Defence Force, and then we all, like, same as leaders in community, but it's just within the Defence Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I, like, kind of explain it to them.
Sure.
You know, putting in the community perspective.
Lovely. But I noticed that... And I think you will agree, the amount of First Nation people joining the Australian Defence Force across the country is pretty high, the numbers, eh?
Yeah.
Especially up here in Cape York, I think they've got their own army personnel in the area.
Yeah, so we
here.
Do have our 51 Final Queensland Regiment.
51st,
so
yeah.
That's our regional full of soldiers. So even if you don't want to join full-time, there's also staying in community and still being a part of part of army as a reserve role, so it's your part-time. I guess a casual thing, not to be used as like a full-time wage or anything like that, just something on the side.
Yes.
And Regional Force Soldier will help you, you know, because our training is really good. It'll help you, you know, with the confidence, resilience, and also be that leader in the community while still being in the community.
That's fantastic. But that person can then step into regulars, can't they? In Australian Defence Force?
Yeah.
Army? Yeah, good.
So if you do decide that, then there will be different avenues for you to go that way as well.
Ooh, excellent.
Yeah.
T, nice talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Enjoy the rest of the Pompera Youth Summit. And we'll talk soon, sister.
Thank you.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there with T. Fisher. And look, with the ADF, Australian Defence Force. And look, fantastic. She's up here and at the Pompera Youth Summit and educating and yarning with the young ones and talking about this as a career pathway. So look, it's fantastic. That's our deadly, this Pompera Youth Summit annual event. Great to be here. Excited to be here. But stay tuned, you mob, to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarning with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, BBM 98.7 FM, and we go by NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Left the straits, sailing over top of Cairo. See, well, felt to work in a field, good sugar cane. Heard the whistle calling from a railroad train. Your story feels like haunting me. My wonders, I think I'll be seeing. Wish I could hear you play.
To bear alone, you feel the pain and all the the suffering.
And you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your saber calls to the deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to catch a deadly sister there, Sunny Lou. She's a singer-songwriter and talking about her journey and what she's doing. I've got a new album coming in as well. And that's Sunny Lou on the line. Sunny, good morning. How are you, sister?
Hey, brother. Yeah, I'm great. I'm so stoked to be talking to you. So thanks for having me on.
Nah, too deadly. Great to have you. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob. Where are you from, Sunny?
Yeah, so Jingri, everyone. Stoked to be chatting to you today. Jingri is the Yugambeh language, the country that I live on, with much great thanks and respect. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, too deadly.
Jumped in my words.
Beautiful.
And I'm from Welwyn Mob, so down near Canamble Warren, in New South Wales.
Lovely, beautiful. Thank you, sister. So tell us your journey. Singer-songwriter, some songs out at the moment, putting an album together, so becoming a bit of a go-getter. Tell us your journey. How did you fall into this space? Have you always been a singer, songwriter, or how did it come about?
Yeah, I've always loved music, and, you know, it's also so natural for us as well. Like, it's in our blood. I suppose I didn't have very good self-confidence had a lot of self-doubt growing up, and just kind of told myself I wasn't good enough and I couldn't do it. And so I became a school teacher.
Yes.
And I'd tell my kids, I'm like, oh, you know, go for your dreams, but you're going to have to work hard and you're going to have to be brave because sometimes it's going to scare you.
You need to practice what you preach.
100%. I was like, wait a minute. I should be doing this, not just saying.
So you gave yourself a little uppercut and then you got into it, eh?
yeah. So very grateful to get to be a school teacher as well. Like, I love the kids so much. So
sure.
Yeah, it's been a really fun journey. So I've been singing and performing now for like the last 6 years. and started in a band, and then started my own project, Sunny Lou, which has been real fun.
Okay, fantastic. Now, one of your songs here, Piece of Art. Tell us about that song. You did a duet with Matt Collins of Wharves, yeah?
Yeah. So, Matt Collins and I write together a lot. Cool.
Big shout out, okay, Matt Collins. Big shout out, brother.
Yes, we love you. he's my partner as well. And okay. So it all makes sense now.
It does.
and I suppose we love writing music together. I feel very lucky that we get to do that. And we were kind of just chatting about our relationship one day and how we felt so grateful to have each other in our life. And we also both had other long-term relationships prior to getting together. And it was kind of cool to reflect on that and sometimes think how, you know, life has, destiny and fate and all of those, when all those things come into play, how it can seem like your entire life was a piece of art. Mm. You just had to let it happen.
Exactly.
And that's kind of where the song came from.
All right, fantastic. And John Ray, what sort of music did you sing? What do you fall under? What categories is that?
I'd say I fit in the pop soul genres. So okay. I get told my voice sounds a lot like Amy Winehouse and Adele from time to time. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we got your track here. We'll play that very soon, my sister. You mentioned kids. How many kids you got?
Oh, I really got fur babies at the moment.
Oh, fur babies.
I do love
Oh, your
all
kids,
my students.
Your school kids, students. Thank you. That's your...
Oh, yes.
When you're regarding your goals and dreams and chase and pursue, you're talking about your students, not your kids.
Yeah,
my
you're my students. Yeah, I just call them... I suppose I view them very affectionately.
Of course,
I kind of call them my kids.
Yeah,
like, but you end up loving them, all of them, and you want to see all of them do really well.
Of course. Tell us your background, regarding your family, your brothers and sisters, mum and dad, and what do they think of your journey?
Yeah, so my nana, she's such a beautiful woman.
Yes.
And she's the elder in our family.
Okay.
And she actually was an organ player when she was young.
Oh.
Would travel around and play in the different churches. And she kind of told me she's always loved music. She just never felt like she had the opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
And then I've got two little sisters and a little brother. And my little brother is really creative. He's just started getting into drag, and he's doing really awesome.
Okay.
And my two sisters are awesome too.
Fantastic. So, and you mentioned that you got an album coming out. So, we've got a name for the album yet, and when will it be ready?
Yeah, so I've got an album coming out on the 11th of October, and it's called Flowers in the Sky.
Mm.
And I've been telling people it's like the 70s had a baby with the 90s.
That's beautiful. Good description. Fantastic. Now, people can catch your music on YouTube or anything. Can they see you perform?
Yeah. So I've got a whole heap of videos on YouTube. I'm on all the different streaming platforms and Instagram, Facebook, if people want to connect and get in touch. I've got heaps of music coming out. Like, I've got even more stuff scheduled after the album. Been having heaps of fun writing, recording, and very grateful to be putting it all out there. So
lovely, fantastic. Now, for the deadly listeners out there, Sunny Lou, that's Luwe. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Beauty. Thanks for spelling it out as well. I forget to do that sometimes.
Sunny Lou, so check it out. My sister, good yarning with you. We're going to play your song now. Thank you for the chat. Keep in touch, and of course, want to yarn with you when you get the album out, sister.
Thanks so much, Trev. I really appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
To Deadly. And big shout out to Matt Collins as well.
And huge shout out. Just want to say hi to all you Deadly listeners out there. Sending you guys sunshine. You're all Deadly ass.
Too beautiful. Take care, sis. Bye, Sunny.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there, Sunny Lou. Do check it out. Surname spelled Luwe. She's on YouTube as well, so check that out. And I'm going to play her song there, Piece of Art, a duet with Matt Collins, which is her other half, and he's of Wharves, is the I think the band there. So look, fantastic, great to be yarning with her. And look, our Deadly Mob, she's talking about being a teacher, telling her students, chase your goals, chase your dreams. Chicken, hey, hang on, I better check myself before I wreck myself, because she was a bit shy in that sense and didn't have confidence in doing it, but now she's just kicking goals. And there's a good message, you mob, chase your goals and dreams. Everything you want in life is outside your comfort zone. So get uncomfortable to get comfortable. Too Deadly, stay tuned, National Talk Black, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Too Deadly, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry.
Play this tune and sing it in our favorite key. You will be the chords, I'll be the melody. We'll be the greatest song that's ever been.
Me and you, stay in bed together till the afternoon. Take this rocket to the stars and see the moon. There's nothing that I'd rather do. Trouble seems to always
Hey, what get on your mouth? It's me, Bush Takabanji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
In the morning, it feels like heaven to me. This is paradise right before my eyes. My people have stories to tell about the land and sea. It's where I long to be. So take me home. Oh, P.I. my beautiful home. 40 tribes of Bogomen.
Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. BBM Bumber Bib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to catch up with Deadly Brother, DP, Dean Parkin, Yes Campaigner. And look, just touch base about the Yes campaign, how we're travelling. 14th of October is the date for the referendum. And got the brother on the line. Dean, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trev. Great to be with you, brother.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Dean?
Yeah, my mob's Kwanamuka, from Mindiriba, North Shabroke Island, just off the coast of Brisbane.
Yes.
Yeah, but not spending a lot of time there at the moment.
Thank you. Yep, Big Island, travelling everywhere, brother. Getting the word out. Yes, campaign. Now, I will say that the completion of the walk, the long walk with Michael Long from Melbourne to Canberra, I did two days on his second day down there at Melbourne, and I couldn't make it back for the ending. But you look, that's a great, good for the Yes campaign, that walk.
Yeah, it was a tremendous moment. I had the great privilege of making the final walk with Michael, with Longy, and all of the people that were there, Prime Minister as well, and other people that were there in support. Tremendous day yesterday. It was a really, really great vibe and a real sense of anticipation for what's to come in the campaign. But Michael's been a champion for a very long time.
Of course,
so it was great to walk alongside him.
Yeah, no, fantastic, brother. On the journey, here we are, Yes campaign. There's a lot of negativity on social media, especially about the no's side of things. How are you travelling, and how's the vision? How do you think we're looking, brother?
Oh, look, I think it's really important to note there, brother, if you actually step away from the social media for a second, you turn away from a lot of the noise. And you're out there in the community yarning on the ground as we are doing on a daily basis. It's a very, very different conversation. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of generosity. There's a lot of goodwill. People are coming at this in a very different way. I was just at Yarrabah earlier in the week talking to mob out there, talking to the people that are involved in the Nadine and Dwayne and others that are out there involved in the Literacy for Life program.
Yes.
And listening to mob on the ground talk about why our voice is important, why when we have community-led solutions like what they're doing out there in education and how it's working so well, and understanding that when we get that voice, we're able to do that across the country on all of those issues, that's the thing that gives us encouragement. That's the thing that inspires us to go, this is the right thing to do, and that's why we should get behind and vote yes, because we want to get them behind people like them and make sure that what they're doing is happening at the national level. So that's, you know, I'm inspired by what I'm seeing on the ground around the country.
A lot of our mob and communities, I'm hearing some people saying that they don't know what it's all about. Is the Yes campaign in there educating, informing, especially our elders, brother?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you do have the conversation, you understand what we're talking about here is recognising our mob as the first peoples of this country, very simply.
Mm.
And also saying, well, and we also do that through a voice. We do that through a mechanism, a committee, a representative committee, made up of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, chosen by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, to represent our views on those issues that affect our families and communities. It's really simple.
Mm.
And the constitutional change means that it gives it a guarantee. It means that it doesn't matter this parliament, next parliament, whatever, there'll be a voice. There'll be a standing voice for our children, our grandchildren, and those that are yet to come.
Sure.
It'll mean that there's always a seat at the table for Blackfellas, and I think that's something that we all know is needed, and we think that people will get behind.
Thank you, brother. Now, leading no campaigner, Jacinta Price, has sparked a controversy after claiming colonisation had a positive impact on Indigenous Australians. Your comment?
Well, I think a lot of people would very strongly disagree with those comments. And a lot of people would say that, you know, much of what happened and, you know, go and talk to some of the Tasmanian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and ask their view on that, and other people around the country and ask their view about that, and I think they'll talk about that. But at the end of the day, it's not about those. It's not about those comments.
Sure.
It's about saying we've got challenges in our communities right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people in our communities right now that know that what's happening right now for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is not good enough.
Yes.
That we've got to do something different, and that's what this referendum is all about. It's about positive change, and the unfortunate thing from those comments is there's no solution there.
Sure,
there is no solution being offered.
Making
by
a comment like
Senator
so,
Price,
yeah, exactly.
And those in the no camp.
Yep.
They're saying what's happening now is good enough, and I think our mob and non-Indigenous people look around and go, "That's not good enough."
Thank you.
We've got to have a change, and that's what the voice is all about.
Well, we've still got gaps,
that's
haven't
why,
we? We've still got gaps, haven't we? Closing the gap. Gaps
everywhere.
Yes, for
change. Vote no for more of the same.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
I think it's a very clear choice.
Okay, so like while we're talking here, National Talk Black going across the country. So for mob listening out there, correct me if I'm wrong, the Yes campaign, it virtually just gets our mob at the table.
Yeah,
yep, can you hear me? No, lost you.
Oh, brother. We'll get Dean Parkin back and continue that yarn. Stay tuned. You there, Dean?
Yes,
yeah, my brother. Yeah, thank you. So what's your thought as the campaigner for the Yes campaign and in regards to the statement leading no campaigner, Jacinta Price, and sparked controversy after claiming colonisation had a positive impact on Indigenous Australians? Your thoughts there, please.
Oh, look, I think a lot of people around the country, both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and non-Indigenous people, would strongly disagree with those comments.
Mm.
I think that's pretty clear. I think it's really important to also understand that in the comments that Senator Price made yesterday, she offers no solutions. There is no solutions offered by the No campaign for the challenges facing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in communities across the country.
Mm.
That's why the Yes vote is so important. It gives us a chance of really addressing those issues like health, education, housing and jobs in our communities.
Yes.
That's what a Yes vote gives us. A no vote gives us more of the same of what we got right now, and everybody agrees that that's not good enough.
Yep.
So we've got to get in there and make sure that we vote yes and vote yes for change.
Okay, deadly, brother, deadly. So here we are talking on National Talk Black, First Nation radio station program going across the country via NERS, National News Radio Service. So let me ask you this question and my thought and my process about the Yes campaign. It's, to me, correct me if I'm wrong, virtually getting our mob a seat at the table in communication with the government in regarding our decisions on our people. We'll have no power. A teeth with no tiger, an advisory council, will have no money, and we're just helping with regarding conversations about our people and directions. Is that the case?
Well, the case is we know that when governments and parliaments listen to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples on our issues, we get better outcomes.
Yes.
That's what this is all about. It is solely focused on getting to those issues in our communities. And at the moment, there isn't that listening. There isn't that voice. There isn't that mechanism for us to be able to sit there and go consistently across the board, well, this is the way we've got to address health. This is the way we've got to address education. This is the success story. Let's do more of this.
Okay.
And let's stop doing those things that aren't working. That's what the voice will do. It'll be there. It'll be that source of wisdom and experience because we know that our mobs know our communities best. That's where the solutions lie, and that's what the voice will bring.
Okay. So we as First Nation people, we get a voice at the table, so to speak. Yes campaign goes through. I've talked to some non-Indigenous brothers and sisters out there, and they're scared that we can go and kick them out of the house and take our land back and take the house.
Well, it's never been the case. It's never been on the table. We've heard these this scaremongering in the past. We've heard it on other issues like Mabo and Native Title. We've heard those scaremongering issues raised in the past, and they've never, ever come about.
Yes.
Because that's not what our people are about.
Sure.
Our people aren't about taking away from others. Our people are very generous people. Our people want to live in a really respectful relationship here in this country. We just want to be able to have a say on those issues. It's as simple as that. And that's why everybody can vote yes and know that for the vast majority of the population, life will go on exactly the way that it is right now. But our mob will have a seat at the table to be able to have a voice over those issues that affect our families and communities. That's it. There's no loss to anybody voting yes. There's no loss.
The other question I have here, and people have just said, the way I look at it, some people have complained, especially non-Indigenous, complained about their taxpayers' money being wasted. Well, if you have a seat at the table and we've got the solution to our problems and we communicate with the government at the table, if the Yes campaign goes through, then we're going to be saving a lot of taxpayers' dollars.
You summed it up beautifully there, brother.
Wouldn't that be the case?
As opposed to wasting money, this is going to save money.
Yes, exactly.
Like we agree. We think that the money isn't being directed to where it's needed the most.
Thank you.
We agree with them on that one. But you know what? To make that change, you got to vote yes.
Yeah.
If you think that it's not good enough now in terms of where the money is going, but you vote no, well, that's all you're going to get. You're going to get the same old, same old. Voting yes gives us a chance to change that and actually make sure that it's getting... We all want to make sure that that investment, that goodwill gets to where it's needed the most. And that's why a yes vote helps make that happen.
Well, if you look at it now, we've got non-Indigenous people putting money into First Nations people in regards to our existence, so to speak. But it's not going to where it's supposed to go, is what we're trying to say. So we are wasting taxpayers' money because non-Indigenous people, government, is directing where the money is supposed to be going.
And look, I think there's people are trying. They are trying. And there's good intentions out there. But good intentions by themselves, governments making decisions by themselves, isn't working.
Yeah.
isn't working. So let's just try something different. Let's just try something different. Involve Indigenous people so that we can sit there and go, well, let's be very, very smart about where that money goes, because we want to make the most of it, because we want to see better results on the ground. It's as simple as that, and that's what this is all about.
Brother, good to catch up with you. Thank you for your conversation. And there it is, educating people about the Yes campaign. There it is. And like I said, 14 October, that is the date. We will yarn before that, my friend. But you travel safe. Take care and talk soon, brother.
Good on you, brother Trev. Thank you.
Take care, Dee. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Deadly yarn there, Dean Parkin, a Yes campaigner, and with the Yes campaign, just a general yarn, just to catch up and touch base and see how he's travelling. And there it is, you heard it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. But do due diligence, get the information, get the facts, and then make your decision. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out, NERS, too deadly.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.